wants me to wake up every morning and say, not my will today, God, your will today.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about getting our prayer priorities in order.
You can only experience the power and presence of the kingdom if you're willing to submit to the purposes of the King.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most of us have no problem praying for what we want, or even praying for what others want. But today, Dr. Evans talks about the importance of praying for what God wants. Let's join him as he explains.
When you merge onto a highway, the traffic is going in a particular direction, and that requires an adjustment as you move off of the on-ramp into the traffic flow. There is an adjustment, no matter what the size of your vehicle happens to be. You must adjust to where the traffic is headed. If you try to go your own way on a moving highway, you are creating a disaster because you're going in the opposite direction to where the traffic is seeking to go. God is going somewhere. And where he is going is the building of his kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Everything is about God's kingdom. From Genesis to Revelation, the word kingdom is the driving narrative of the story. The rule of God from eternity into history, but in relationship with his people. And what God is asking you to do is to merge into his program, to merge into where he's going, to merge in the direction he's taking. And the way that you merge into his kingdom program is prioritizing his will over yours. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me say it another way. The way you get to see his kingdom is by surrendering to his will. If you're praying for his kingdom, but you're not willing to be surrendered to his will, then you don't get the kingdom part because he didn't get the will part. Thy kingdom come, and the way that will happen is thy will is being done. How is it being done? On earth like it is in heaven. Which means if I want heaven on earth, then I must be willing to submit to his will on earth so that heaven is free to make its presence on earth. And therefore, the visual manifestation of his kingdom. There is an earthly kingdom to come when Jesus returns, when he physically will rule from Jerusalem and cover the entire earth while he is physically on earth. But while we await that day, he rules from heaven. So the reason we pray now, when we won't have to pray then, is because then he will physically be here. But since he's not physically here now, we have to invoke his presence from up there to be actualized and to be manifested down here. So his kingdom rule from up there to be manifested down here involves your praying, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, having said that, we must go into an understanding of God's will. And so I want to take a moment to speak to you theologically about the will of God. The critical point for seeing his kingdom coming where you live, work, play, raise a family. In your world, the kingdom coming, because you're also adding your will is being done. Now, the first thing you have to understand is the comprehensive nature of God's will. God's will is comprehensive, and what I mean by that is nothing sits outside of it. In other words, God's will is what he wants, where he wants it, and when he wants it. It is absolute control over all of his creation. For example, let me read to you Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24 and verse 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it happened. And just as I planned it, it will stand. Verse 27 says, for the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? As for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? Chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 13, reads as follows. Even from eternity, I am he, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? So God's will is comprehensive. It is deterministic. When God determines that something is going to happen, and it is unconditional, I'll explain that in a moment. Oh, it's going to happen if he has to go by you, through you, around you, or get rid of you. Because his will is comprehensive. Because he is comprehensive. I am now speaking about the unconditional will of God. That is, his will when he doesn't have any conditions tied to it. When he's going to do it because he decided to do it because it's in his right to do it. He told Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, they're going to leave. Whether you cooperate with it or whether you don't cooperate with it. If I have to bring frogs, if I have to turn the water into blood, if I have to bring lice, or if I have to kill the firstborn in every one of your house, I have decided they're not going to stay there anymore. So whether you work with me or don't work with me is irrelevant because in my unconditional will, I have decided this is going to happen, so I'm going to make it happen. So that is this comprehensive will of God. I love the way Psalm 115 verse 3 says, God is in heaven and he does whatever he pleases. Romans chapter 11 verse 36 says, from him, through him, and to him are all things. So when we're talking about the God of the Bible, we're talking about a person who has absolute control over anything he decides to do because he has both the right and the power to do what he determines. Having explained his unconditional will, that's not the only will he has. God has another will, and that is the will of what he desires that may or may not occur. In other words, he has a desirable will, things he wishes and things he wants. The things he wishes and wants are in partnership with mankind, and it may or may not happen. For example, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires that all men are saved. Yet the Bible is clear, all men are not saved. Even though he wants it to happen, he does not impose it to happen because it's conditional on what man does or does not do, in this case, receiving Christ. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 34, how often, Israel, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers a little one, but you wouldn't let me. So I want to do it, but you're blocking me from doing it. And because it's my conditional will and not my unconditional will, I'm not going to make you do it, even though it's what I want to happen. Or the Bible says God desires in Colossians 4:12 for all Christians to become mature. But we know all Christians don't keep growing. All Christians don't mature into Christ-likeness. He wants it. He wishes it, and he wills for it to happen on condition. And the condition is that you grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and be conformed to his image, that you want to do it and pursue doing it. To put it another way, in the conditional will of God, he allows choices. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to the end of the chapter says that you have a choice. He says, choose life or you can choose death. I want you to choose life. I'm not going to make you choose life. So there is an unconditional will. He's going to do it because he decides to do it. But then there is this partnership will where he will partner with you in the doing of it, but he won't make you do it. The reason why we have to pray, thy will be done, is because obviously his will is not always done. That's why we have to pray for it. So he's calling for a partnership in prayer so that what he has determined conditionally from heaven to come to earth can come because we have cooperated with it for it to be released from heaven into earth.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll tell us more about how God gives back to us when we pray according to his priorities. But first, I'd like to tell you how you can get a copy of Tony's popular and life-changing book, God is More Than Enough. In it, he takes a close look at the 23rd Psalm, pointing out that it's much more than just a poem or beautiful verse. It's David and us realizing that God is totally capable of taking care of any distress, anxiety, or fears we may have. We only need to allow him to do it. We'd like to send this book to you as our way of saying thanks when you make a contribution to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. And if you do it right away, as an added bonus, we'll also include all 8 full-length messages from his current teaching series, The Lord's Prayer. These lessons will help you discover why the Lord's example of how to pray is also an example of how to live. But this offer is only available for a short time, so be sure to contact us right away. All the details and the instantly downloadable message files are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you with your resource request. I'll have that information for you again right after part 2 of today's message and this.
Our world has become very mean, so much division and conflict. So we need to be overwhelmed with kindness.
Dr. Tony Evans has a mission for you to change our culture for good. Join Tony's Kindness in the Culture campaign by getting your unique kindness cards online. Then agree to do one act of kindness for someone each week. Once you do your act of kindness, offer to pray for the person and even share the gospel. If you can't do both, that's okay. Just be sure to give the kindness card to them, and Dr. Evans will share the gospel through a simple, easy-to-access video online. Visit TonyEvans.org to request your cards today. Churches and groups can request customizable kindness cards with your name and logo. See details online.
Well, on yesterday, my goal was to get home. That was my plan. That was my unconditional will. My unconditional will was to be home, the place of my kingdom, the place of my abode. As I made my way to the highway, people were leaving the fair by the droves. The highway was totally blocked. It was at a standstill. So then I peeled around and decided to go another direction. And I turned right. But that was stacked too, because people were leaving the fair in all kind of directions. So I had to maneuver to another way to get home. Now, my unconditional will was to get home. That was a non-negotiable. Whatever I needed to do to get home, I was going to do, because that was unconditional. However, I had options about my route. I could choose another way. Because while my unconditional will is unchangeable, my conditional will is adjustable. And my adjustable conditional will, when it got blocked, just maneuvered to another route and maneuvered to another route, because I was not going to let my conditional will stop my unconditional goal. God has an unconditional goal. The establishment of his kingdom for his glory. But he has a conditional will. So if you block him by your disobedience, rebellion, lack of prayer, it's not going to stop him getting to his goal. He's going to get to his unconditional goal. He's just going to have to skip you to get there. So many of us get bypassed from God because we refuse to partner with God for his will to be done. And God is not about to let you block him from getting to his goal. So he'll skip you and find somebody else. Now that ought to humble everybody in the room, because that means you ain't all that in a bag of chips. Because God can bypass you, go over there, skip them, bypass them. He told Pharaoh, oh, because you don't want to let him go, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to harden your heart. I'm going to make you not let him go. I'm going to mess you up so that you see they going to go, but don't mess with me and me getting them out of there. So you have to understand, you can cooperate with his will. You can resist his will. He going to get to his destination. He's not going to let you or me stop him, but he'd love to join with us in getting there by the prayer, thy will be done. So it is the recognition that you and I get to partner on the conditional side. It will not change his unconditional side, because God's will achieve his desired end. And so God wants his will because he wants his program, and his program is that his kingdom would come. That is, his being, his purposes will be manifested in history in cooperation with us, which is why he invites us to pray, thy will be done. Now, what this means is that a decision has to be made if you're going to pray this prayer and mean it. That is, there must be the decision to be committed to God's will. Satan's goal is to get you and me and us to rebel against the will of God. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 to 14, Satan said five times, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. We call that negative volition. In other words, he had a will that was opposite to God's will. And so he said five times, I will to do something that you don't want. I'm going to do my own plan, my own program. I'm going to have my own posse. I'm going to do my own thing. It's not your thing, God, but it's my thing. And he rebelled against God. That's why the greatest sin in the Bible is pride. The greatest sin in the Bible is pride, because that's thinking more of yourself than you ought to think. So he decided that I'm going to build my own kingdom. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to be my own boss. I don't care what God says. So what did Satan do? He got Adam and Eve to rebel against the will of God. God said, no, that tree in the middle, don't mess with that. All these other trees you can have. But he duped them into thinking they could operate independently of God. He does the same thing with you and me. He tries to draw us and drift us from the will of God by making our will seem better than his will. And when he can get us to do that, then we break fellowship with God and we don't get heaven to visit history. So he says that we must be willing to submit to the will of God. Now, I'm going to give you four words that some of you may not like. Four words that sometimes I don't prefer. I'm going to give you four words that can ruin your perspective of who you are and why you are here. Those four words come from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. And those four words reads as follows. We exist for him. 1 Corinthians 8, 6 says, we exist for him. Translation, he does not exist for you. He does not exist for me. God did not create us so that we would not be for him. He created us so that we could be for him. His program, his will, his plan, his goals, his desires, his drive. He wants you to wake up every morning. He wants me to wake up every morning and say, not my will today, God, your will today. And if anybody has to adjust, I'm adjustable. I am adjustable. We exist for him. That is the surrender decision that every Christian has to face. Jesus put it this way, even when he was physically hungry in John 4, 34, he says, I exist. My food is to do the Father's will. I'm hungry right now, but what really satisfies me is when I've done the Father's will. You can only experience the power and presence of the kingdom if you're willing to submit to the purposes of the King. Jesus says that his will, that God's will, must trump our will. When we were in New York and we were at Macy's, we walked around and we saw people in the big glass window, kids making faces, sticking out their tongue, people waving their hands. We wondered, what was all this commotion about? When we walked around, there was a lady who was basically a mannequin, a statue in the window, and she didn't budge. The only reason you know it was a human being rather than a mannequin is because her eyes were blinking. But apart from that, she just did not budge. All of the people on the outside of the window were doing everything they could to get her to budge, but she would not budge. The reason she would not budge is that her obligation wasn't to the folks on this side of the glass. Her obligation was to the one who was paying her on the other side of the glass to be a mannequin. In other words, she had kingdom supervision that told her, you go in front of that glass, you stand there, you advertise the clothes we want you to advertise, and no matter what the other folk are saying on the other side of the window, we're paying you to be on this side of the window, and you're not to be distracted by what they're saying. The world is trying to do this and do that and tell us over here and go there and be this, but we belong to the other side of the glass. We belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to the will of God. We belong to the purposes of God. And he says, don't let the culture distract you. Don't let the people distract you. Don't let the programs distract you. Don't let you distract you. You belong to this kingdom. And if you want this kingdom to come, if you want heaven to visit history, my will must be done. If you want heaven to visit history. Means we can't pray for anything outside of the will of God. We can only ask for that which is inside of the will of God. Your goal, my goal, should be what God said about David in Acts 13:22. He said, David is a man after my own heart who loves to do my will. David was an imperfect man, but when God wrote his obituary, he says, that man loves to do my will. In other words, when he failed doing my will, he got on his knees and confessed it, got it right, and got right back in my will. He loves to do my will. That's what you want to be said of your life, my life. I didn't just do it. I preferred it. The only way you're going to prefer to do God's will is if you believe he knows what he's doing. Because if you don't believe he knows what he's doing, you're going to drift to your will. To your preference, but if you believe he knows what he's doing, even when you don't like what he's doing, you have to trust him that he knows better than you do, and I submit to the will of God. So there must be a surrender charge. There must be a decision to be committed to the will of God.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the link between God's priorities and his promises in a message he calls The Priority of Prayer. As always, CDs and digital downloads are available, and they include more material than we could fit into today's program. Better yet, consider receiving the full-length copy of today's lesson as a part of Tony's current series, The Lord's Prayer. Remember, for only a few more days, you can get that special offer I mentioned earlier. All 8 lessons in this series bundled along with a copy of Tony's life-changing book, God is More Than Enough. This entire package of resources is yours as our thank you gift when you make a contribution to help keep this broadcast coming your way each day. Just visit us at tonyevans.org to get the details. Or call our 24-hour resource request line at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members assist you. That's 1-800-800-3222. There are times when what we want contradicts what God wants. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will explain that when we make prayer a priority, our desires and directions will begin to align with God's. Be sure to join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.